Hey guys, welcome back to Love That Lasts, a podcast where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. And today, Alyssa and I are talking about what makes people truly happy, and we answer your voicemails about how to stay strong when you're single. So pull up a chair and let's get started.
This episode of the Love That Lasts podcast is brought to you by Datebox, the monthly subscription that helps grow your relationship. Guys, we love Datebox. Our best friends started it. They live in Oklahoma, and it is the coolest thing because every month you get a box that's packed with everything needed for a fun, creative, and unique date night, and it's delivered right to your door. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to make reservations. It's like the best thing ever. So visit getdatebox.com and use the promo code LOVETHATLASTS at the checkout to get your free box. And who doesn't like a free box? You can just check it out, see if you like it. Datebox, your relationship matters.
What do you guys think makes people the most unhappy?
Oh.
Wow.
I've never been asked that question and I've never even thought about that question.
I actually
like
thought
from
that
straight on of a way.
Vaguely this morning because Lisa Harper has a new book about...
Oh, yeah, the sacrament of happy.
Yeah, and I've heard it's really good.
But I thought that was such a cool phrase, too, being, you know.
Yeah. So I want to read that, but.
Yeah.
You go.
You haven't thought anything besides the title?
No, not at all. So if you read Lisa Harper's book, let me know how it is.
But I think that phrase, sacrament of happy, is really cool because I think that is alluding to the fact that just like the other sacraments in the Christian tradition, you know, happy versus unhappy isn't just fully about how you feel, but there is like a track you have to walk on. Yeah, that's perfect word. Practice. It's like a spiritual practice almost. And
totally.
I think you can debate happy versus unhappy and whether or not, you know, that means joy or not joy. Mm-hmm. Just for simple definitions, I always usually say that happiness is like fickle and fleeting, but joy is the thing that you can have no matter if you have good circumstances or bad circumstances.
Right. Happy more relies on your circumstances.
Exactly. But let's just, for the sake of this conversation, let's just consider happy, the same definition I just gave as joy. It's more of
contentment.
You're really in a good place, healthy. I would probably say the thing that makes you then most unhappy. I mean, I don't know if I can pinpoint one thing, but I do think selfishness is one of the core things. Like, I think if you bend your behavior back in on yourself, it's like this weird dichotomy of like thinking it's going to be the thing that's going to solve the issue, but it just kind of digs a more cavernous hole inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's the obvious things like, you know, substance abuse or whatever, or just selfishness in regards to, you know, I need this person's love, but I'm not thinking about serving or loving them.
That's good,
you know,
babe.
Whatever it is. But I do think selfishness, I think, is one of the things that makes people most unhappy. Because, and then the antidote of that would be giving, right? Or service. And in some regard, thanksgiving. I think we talk about that all the time, that the antidote of discontentment, the antidote of no joy is thankfulness. And that's how you kind of like, that's the little kindling on the fire that creates the joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's kind of like, I think practicing thankfulness is what puts the little pieces of wood on the fire to allow it to actually ignite in a big way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we talk about that all the time, you know, and we do a fun tradition in our little married Ohana group, and Ohana just means family in Hawaiian, but it's pretty much just like a married small group. And once a month when we have family dinners, we just go around and say, hey, what do we, you know, because we believe food is a sign of celebration and the table is a sign of feasting. And so we just say, hey, what's one thing we're celebrating this past month? Kind of a look back. What are we celebrating?
What are you thankful for?
Yeah, what has God done? And a lot of times it's nothing crazy, right? Like every month it can't be that someone got saved or got married or when, you know, like, well, totally. And it is.
A couple people pregnant.
Oh, yeah. And those are big and those are amazing. But that can't be every month.
A lot of times it's little.
Or every couple. A lot of times it's just like, man, I was terribly sick 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I'm not now.
Mm-hmm.
Or I was, you know, not feeling good during pregnancy, and then I got acupuncture, or you know, and all these different things. And I think those are amazing, because then that's more the practice of Thanksgiving, of looking for that in the everyday, which I think fights against unhappiness, discontentment. What would you say?
Yeah. So what keeps you from being happy?
Or what's like the main thing? Yeah, you think that makes people unhappy?
I mean, I think what you said is right. Totally, I totally agree with that.
That's usually what you say when you're about to totally go against what I say.
No, I think that's like the main answer.
Yeah.
In my life, I think things that make me unhappy is when, two things. I think when I compare and then when I complain.
Compare's
really
good.
And they're kind of related. So a lot of times, like, if I'm looking at other people's lives and trying, like, oh, wow, their house is just so beautiful. I want mine to look like this. Which, I mean, it's okay to be like, wow, their house is so beautiful.
To be inspired. Yeah.
To be inspired. Yeah. But then I end up putting a lot of pressure on myself, like, oh, I need to have my house. Like, I need to have that thing in my house, or I scour Pinterest for hours because my house isn't quite like that. Or, you know, or their body type, yeah. or they have all these friends and relationships and I am feeling lacking, whatever it may be,
yeah.
comparing my life with somebody else. And I think comparison is so deadly. And then not realizing, like, looking at my life and seeing what God's doing in my life and being thankful for what I yeah. have. And so I think when you keep your eyes on the grass is greener on the yeah. other side, it's not greener
yeah.
All the time. So that, and then I think it's related to then you complain about your life, like, oh, and just true, not practicing you're not content, thankfulness. And
complaining mm-hmm. comes out of discontent.
Or like you're always thinking about yeah. what you don't have or what's yeah. hard
yeah.
or those things. And it's totally like, totally okay to think about, like, man, this season's really hard
totally.
And like process things going on. But when you don't practice thankfulness,
yeah.
then it can really lead to unhappiness.
Yeah. And I like the comparison thing, too. I think that was actually almost what
for
I was trying
me.
To get
and
at.
And I think
yeah.
most women.
Totally.
I don't know how men are.
I think guys would struggle with it, too. But I would say, yeah, especially mm-hmm. in the Pinterest culture and all that stuff, it could be maybe a little bit more of a
yeah. Or social media issue. Culture, like totally. Looking on Instagram. And
totally.
Sometimes I think you go on Instagram and you're going because, like, you want to celebrate with people. But then sometimes
but then it becomes
like
I'm just depressed.
Or, no, and it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. And I'm like, oh, that's so great. They had such a fun day. But then sometimes I know myself well enough
yeah.
to be like, I'm going on because I'm hurting from something
or wanting
I'm numbing
to numb out.
Out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go on and I'm like, oh, I wasn't invited to that or, you know, those
yeah.
things. And so that's hard.
Yeah. Well, I think that what I'm totally, maybe I'm just totally BSing this, but I think it was Teddy Roosevelt who said comparison is the thief of joy, and it probably wasn't. Maybe
so
Teddy
good.
Roosevelt, just Google it and you'll figure it out. Tweet us if you know that is, but I swear it was, or it could have been Aslan, or it could have been, you know, Gandalf. I don't know. Someone said it. But yeah, that was good. I liked that.
If Jeff was a color, what color would he be?
Ooh.
That's
a good
so
question.
Many things
I
know.
They are picking the color based on what you're thinking.
Well, I would say, I could say black because all he wears
that's
is black t-shirts.
Yes. This one's technically navy blue, but pretty much, yeah, navy to black is all
like
I wear.
Like when I do laundry, there's like
just
20
black,
stacked
black
t-shirts.
Black.
It's really boring.
When it's, and I,
tiffled.
And, yes,
really
and I only wear like two pairs of gray shorts. Like I'm one of those guys where I'm yeah. technically wearing something different so that because I'm not a dirty person, but everyone thinks I'm wearing the same thing every day because it's gray shorts and a black shirt. Even though it's a different pair of gray shorts, a different black shirt. But yeah, black would be a perfect one, I think. But that doesn't mean that I'm like dark
green.
Or morbid or...
I don't know why I want to say green.
Yeah.
Because you don't even like green, but...
But does it describe me, though? That's what more of the question.
Yeah.
I could see that.
You're fruitful.
Oh,
you give
good.
Life to
oh.
people.
Oh, preach. That's good.
You're kind of bright and cheerful.
Thanks, babe. I appreciate
that. I'm thinking
that.
Like a more cheerful green.
Yeah, that's
like
good.
Like a Kelly green.
So I was going to say, this isn't your favorite color either, by any means, I don't think. But I would say yellow, not because of the color,
oh.
but for the same reasons. I was going to say fresh, bright, cheery, kind of sun, you know, represents the sun and light.
Thanks,
and all
babe.
That things. So yeah, that's a good one. We're just happy people.
If Alyssa was an animal,
ooh,
what would she be?
I actually really want to
nail
this.
I know exactly
this.
What I'd be.
Say it and I'll see if I agree.
No, you need to say it first.
Okay.
Adam Donia said it one time.
Oh, you're right. He did. What was that? I'm trying to think of just the most like cute, soft, sensitive, cuddly, sweet animal in the world. What would that be? I don't know. A koala. You know, that could be up there.
No,
that could be up there.
I am not a koala.
I know. I really can't think.
You're wearing gray.
Yeah, you are. You actually are. And that's even like koala fur vibes. Like for the people listening on the podcast, that is, she's
Stop.
Literally wearing a koala fur shirt right now. And I wasn't even planning out when I said that. No, what was the one you'd say though?
Babe, I would be...
what did he say?
A yellow lab.
Oh yeah, that's true. That
or
is
golden
true.
Retriever. No,
golden retriever. That's
yes.
what, yeah. That's what he said. And I would say that. Yeah.
What
Which
would
is,
Jeff be?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know what I would be.
I want to say lion.
Oh, nice. I'll take that.
But maybe something that's like a scale down, a little softer.
I was all being like, ooh, nice. That's really masculine.
Well, no, it is
scaled
really masculine.
Down, shaved, lion that hasn't gone through puberty, that has no hair.
No. Yes, I would say you're lying because you're a leader. You're passionate.
But I am not like, yeah, I'm
a
not a manly
dominant.
Man at all.
A lioness.
Lioness.
A lioness.
That's, yeah, that's that was be yeah.
A little dominant,
from a functional
but you
standpoint,
still
probably.
Like are sensitive to my needs.
Well, I'm not like
so
I'm
you're not like.
Well, for those,
you're
I think
not like,
I think,
I'm leading this family and you have no say.
Yeah.
But
well, I think people can pick this up from just watching our marriage online. Right. I'm not like I'm an almost an anti-manly man. Like I don't want to shoot a gun. I don't want to eat meat. I don't want to go take an axe and throw it at a tree.
Yeah.
I would much rather have book, nice cup of coffee, computer. Yeah. Hang out.
So what kind of animal is that?
I don't know.
Maybe a bear.
Yeah. Just a more docile,
a
nice lion.
A bear. Yeah, a lion. I'd say a lion.
Thanks, babe. I appreciate that. I'll take that. Stick with I mean, that is like one of the most gnarliest, manliest king of the jungle animals ever. So I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah.
What is the cutest thing that Alyssa does?
Oh, she snorts when she laughs, hands down. And if you listen to the podcast, you know this, because if she really gets laughing, she'll snort. But it's rare. It's kind of like seeing a unicorn. But if she gets laughing hard enough, she'll snort. And then it's funny because we'll be hanging out with friends and everyone just gets flabbergasted or just like they're just like, did you just snort? And then they'll know her for years and not know that she snorts until it's like a joke that's hilarious enough. But I think it's hilarious. It's my favorite thing that she does for sure.
What about the cutest thing about Jeff?
I don't have any. Yeah, what would you say?
I don't know what the cutest thing is.
Does it need to be a different word?
Fold yeah, maybe
like
so.
The hunkiest thing that Jeff does.
I like that word.
When he folds my laundry.
That's lesson to all men out there.
It's like so
it's
sweet.
Not what you think.
I think because when we first got married, we kind of like did the like split the chores thing, whatever. So I did the laundry because I enjoy laundry. Mm-hmm. So I've always done the laundry our whole marriage.
Yeah.
And he's never touched it.
And I do like dishes and
other things
and stuff like that.
And just the last like
yeah.
2 months, he's like folded the laundry like 3 times.
Which that's a big deal
been,
when you
like,
got two kids
like,
too.
A huge
just the
pile
mound.
Of laundry, and I'm like, it's gonna take me all of nap time.
And so you kind
of
just stop, don't go to it, don't go.
And then you fold it all, and it's just waiting for me.
Well, lesson to all the
so
men
that
out there:
is probably
serve your wife. That's the hunkiest thing you could do.
Sorry,
it sounds
you
very manly,
wish
so I really
said
appreciate
something
it. But
else.
No, that's good. That's a good one. That's a good one.
He's a lioness.
Though. Yeah, lioness. Right. Yeah, folds laundry.
Okay.
I'm just like Jeff Homemaker over here. I like it. Yeah.
Now, this is going to sound like I'm asking it incorrectly, but I'm not. What is the cutest thing that you do? What is the cutest thing that you do?
Ooh, like how would I self-judge? Like,
yeah.
Oh.
What do you think the cutest thing you do?
It's funny because you almost talked over me since where I actually said folding laundry. So that's hilarious.
That's what you would have said?
Probably. Or I started saying that as a joke of what you would say. But it's funny that you actually said that. I don't know what I would say. I would probably say... Maybe trying to think what this is what's the funny part about marriage, right? Is you do certain things thinking that they're going to think it's incredible and awesome. And they're just like, what are you doing? You know, or something like that. I'm trying to think of something. Do you have anything that you can think of for you? I know there's been a couple times like that with me to you. And then you're just like, that was weird. Why are you doing that? but I can't think of the actual thing. But I think every marriage can relate to that though. Of like, man, I thought I was about to nail it and it was not nailed at all.
I don't know. I feel like cute is a hard word.
Not for you. I feel like that's so you. What do you think is the most
cutest thing I do?
Or like sweetest or you got something. I'd probably say, what would you think? What do you think is the cutest thing you do?
I know I could say something else for you.
No.
Well, I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
So Jeff, like all day, every day, he always is singing some tune. Like he makes up little songs. More like a jingle.
That's what they're called. Yeah.
And then it becomes like our family mantra.
And a lot of them are inappropriate, and we're not going to mention those on the podcast. A lot of them are, and every marriage can relate to that. But I'm trying to think of ones that'd be appropriate. But yes, I do that. And we kind of forget. It's like they go on. It's like it's almost. And I have the problem of almost having like a tick of sorts, where I'll just sing the song over and over again for like 2 weeks.
Over.
And that's usually when it gets to the point where she's like, "Okay, this is not cute anymore." And
well,
then,
if it's appropriate, it is. If it's not,
yeah,
I'm like,
she's
okay,
like, you gotta
no
make sure
more.
You don't say that when guests are over and when the kids are around. No, that is a good one. That is funny.
So, for instance, one time a couple years ago, we had like all of Jeff's buddies come out and stay with us,
I don't
and my best
this
friend
one.
Shannon. Oh, you'll know. And so they're all staying with us. So we took them to our favorite restaurant, and Jeff was planning to pay for everybody. So he's just like. Like, yeah, drinks all around. Like,
oh, yeah, I can't remember the jingle, but this is a
like,
funny
everybody
story.
Everybody order
yeah.
whatever they want. He's like, let's get like 2 pies for everybody.
2 fries for everyone. Yeah, I said all that. Like,
and so, and then
but the whole point of that
is
because I was like so stoked that pretty much half our wedding party was here. And I was like,
yeah,
hey, you know,
you
I was just
to
totally
them.
Assuming like, hey, we're going to pay for this. Just everyone go crazy. Get drinks, get food, get dessert, get everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then his buddy like went to the bathroom and totally paid for all of it.
Yeah. And I was like, dude,
and
you're
he was like,
killing
I wouldn't
me.
Have ordered like
yeah, I wouldn't have ordered
half
like that
the
at
things
all.
I did.
And I forgot the actual jingle, but we
and
but then
so,
it became
no,
a joke where
so
we would always say
jingle,
2 fries, 2 pies.
It's a joke in our house. Like if we go out, we're like, are
two
we gonna
fries,
get 2 fries, 2 pies?
Like go crazy and
so
you're
now
paying.
He sings this jingle
yeah.
that's don't make me go.
Two fries, 2 pies.
Don't
I forgot about that.
And so Kinsley sings it all the time.
Oh yeah, she does.
And when we go out to eat, she's like, 2 pies, 2 fries.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That is
a
good one. That is a good one. I forgot about that. And so note to self, do not, if your friend's going crazy, do not go to the bathroom and pay for it. Let the man pay for it.
You guys, I got a crazy deal for you. Okay, so me and Alyssa put together this thing called the Love That Lasts Experience, and we want to give you guys 50% off. Now, what it is it has like four components. The first one is we interviewed 12 marriage mentors on 12 different relationship topics like sex, finance, communication, conflict. We made that a video series. Then on top of that, you get our Love That Lasts book, which is like our story. It's a nonfiction book, has teaching in it. But then we also did corresponding workbooks with that, Love That Lasts for Him, Love That Lasts for Her. And then lastly, you get the Deep Love Assessment, which is basically you both take this test online, and then it generates a custom 10-page report that's basically like looking at your relationship through the matrix. It's absolutely incredible. It's $144 usually. We want to give you guys 50% off with the code PODCAST. Just use the code PODCAST at lovethatlast.co. lovethatlast.co. Use the code PODCAST. We'll give you half off. So it's $70. You get 3 books, a 12-week video series, and the Deep Love Assessment. It's incredible. It's awesome. And you get to be in a Facebook group with us. We love you guys. We hope you check it out.
Time for my favorite part of the show, the listener voicemails.
Hey, Jeff and Alyssa. My name is Lizzie from Los Angeles, and I've been following you guys on Instagram and Facebook. And I just want to say thank you so much for just how you share Jesus. And one question I have is, how do you deal with feeling unwanted? How do you deal with wanting to be married, but you're not, and feeling like you need to do something or change something in order to get there? It may sound like a weird question, but I'm just wondering, that's kind of where I am in my life, like early 20s, still haven't really met anybody, struggling with wanting to meet somebody. So just kind of how would you encourage the young Christian girl or guy who wants to be in a relationship but isn't, and how do you trust the Lord in that? Thank you.
Thanks for that question, Lizzie. What a cute name. So... great name. It's a great name. It's cute.
Well, we're in the middle of thinking of next names for our next kids. So that's
not that we're pregnant.
Yeah, no, but we're taking notes. So thanks, Lizzie.
Anyway, I would say that is such a hard thing. And I think a lot of people believe the same thing. When you're not being pursued or haven't ever been or whatever it may be, it's so easy to believe the lie that, well, I'm not wanted. And like you said, like what's wrong with me that no one is, you know, knocking at my door? And that could totally, that's so common. And I could totally see how easy it would be to fall into that thinking. And I think when that thinking comes to your mind, you have to fight it with truth. You have to go right to the Lord and like, okay, here's what I'm thinking and feeling, but what does God say about me? You know, what is his truth? And the truth is that you are so wanted. Like, you are so wanted that Jesus, God sent his son to come on this earth and to die for you because he knew there was no other way to be with you. And so he gave up his son because he wanted you so bad. So realizing that Jesus wants you, God wants you. And I'm not saying that as like a band-aid answer or like, oh, but hey, Jesus loves me, but like, really, truly, the only man that can ever fulfill you and love you fully and never disappoint you wants you, and he wants you right now, and he wants all of you. And so finding a lot of security and hope in that, and then also realizing just because you're not dating someone or married, it doesn't mean it's because there's something wrong with you. So I hope that's encouraging, and yeah, maybe you can just get away with the Lord this week and really journal it out and have him speak truth to your heart. So,
Lizzie, one quick thing, and Alyssa was the one, I think you either got it from a mentor or something. This is a great lesson for anyone listening, whether you're in a relationship or not. It's about fighting truths with lies, or fighting lies with truth. And don't fight the other way around. But the advice was really good of like kind of being really systematic about it of like, and especially like it's very obvious to us if we think on it for more than 2 minutes that a lot of us don't fight a million different lies. A lot of us usually in our life fight like two or three of the same ones all the time of like the constant voice of, and it sounds like, you know, yours is that I feel unwanted.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah. What's wrong with me? That is a lie. Mm-hmm. But, and we all have our own, that own tape recorder in our head that's playing lies. And usually of us, we only have a handful. And so a really good spiritual practice, I think, is to take out an actual journal, write 2 columns. One says lies, one says truth. And write down all those actual feelings of lies, of like make number one, say that I feel unwanted. Make number two, feel that
What's wrong with me?
You know, make number three something of that nature. And so, and then do that, and then go through the scripture, sit with the Lord in prayer, in the Bible, do use Google if you have to, and find verses that fight that, and really sit in.
Because you can't just put off things, you have to replace it with something.
Exactly.
So and what truth
and does... fight with actual truth, which is the Lord's word and his spirit speaking and giving life to that word.
Right.
And so, and then what you do is it that naturally gets in your bones. So then, you know, when you're actually having those thoughts next, you have basically it gives you like bullets in the chamber. Mm-hmm. I feel like it really is a really helpful way for you to just very easily recognize, oh, this is a lie, but I know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. And you can, and you, cause that column way is like, oh, I know what the answer is. I know what the truth is. And you can preach that to yourself. And it's hard work and it's obviously a battle, but I think, just that little easy way of doing it in a journal, making it actual practical in the real world, not just in your head, has a way of giving you a lot better ability to fight it. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Hello. My name is Carmen Quinones. I'm from Orlando, Florida. And I just, there's a question that's always kind of like bugged me. And that question is God still with you or does he still bless you even though you are living in sin? I guess I have a lot of friends who kind of deal with the same thing. So because of it, it's been kind of hard for me to look for God because I don't know if he's still there. And yeah, that's just about it. All right. I love you guys. Bye.
Carmen, again, incredible name. Reminds me of the, like, you know, 90s
where
kids worship
the
guy.
Carmen San Diego.
Yeah, but I was thinking of the kids singer. Like, remember the kids singer guy?
Yeah. I wasn't into him, though.
So, okay. So, Carmen, let us know which who you loved more, the Carmen kids singer or Carmen the San Diego lady. But I don't know, like, that was her last name or something. Great question. I'm going to answer that very contradictory. And what I mean is I think yes and no. I think there's theologically, there's common grace. And what this basically means is that, like, God is so full of love and so full of blessing, and it's so in his nature for him to pour out that nature, that there's going to be aspects in this life that we basically receive simply because he's just so good to us, right? The fact that, like, you know.
Is that called common grace?
Yeah, I think common grace is all the stuff that's just naturally a gift and a blessing, not dictated by your behavior. Mm-hmm. The fact that it was, like, you know, kind of like things to be thankful for in your life. Like,
yeah,
it was a nice day. You have this and that
taste
or whatever.
Buds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The food tastes good.
Eight
the food doesn't taste bad.
I don't know.
It's like when you have a really good meal, you're like, man, that is an amazing common grace that food actually, that he made it. So that food always actually has great flavor rather than it just is like not a, you know, shot we take or something for nutrients or whatever. So yeah, common grace, I think in that
or
sense.
Or you have a job or,
yes,
you know,
so I think
things.
In that sense, yes, he does, but I think it's very clear in scripture that there is blessing and shalom comes from obedience. Now, not to perform so that he would love you, not to perform so that he would, you know, like you anymore or, you know, give you any type of extra salvation, because that's not possible. Because you can already.
It's not that you love him, so you'll receive blessing.
Exactly. But I do think, like, the ultimate prize is him. That's what we have to always make sure we're saying, is the ultimate blessing is that you get intimacy with Jesus. The fact that you can actually see him face to face. And that is crazy to think about with the barrier of sin, yet he takes that away so you can see him face to face forever. And you can have that relational intimacy forever with your creator. That's the true blessing. And sin blocks that. So if there's any type of sinful choices you're making in a pattern type way, then you're missing out on the biggest blessing, which is intimacy with your creator.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I also think then functional, practical blessings also are taken away in some sense. You know, you can talk about big theological topics like passive wrath and active wrath. And, you know, basically what those are is, like, active wrath is when God wants to really, very obviously show you this is a bad decision. And, you know, it's like there's some type of huge thing that you're being seen in regards to, like, oh, I shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But passive wrath is where it's more about the consequences of that sin are the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's just, he didn't naturally line up the world to work that way.
Right, the consequences of sin.
Yeah. Like, and I think most, I actually do
and
think.
And when you are living in sin, there will be consequences.
Totally. And John Mark Comer says this, and I fully believe it too, that most times you see wrath in your life, I think it's mostly passive wrath. It's very rare for God to kind of show up, throw some lightning bolts, you know, whatever, do that type of stuff. I think very much so, sin itself is so destructive that is actually, the punishment, like that sin, it's just the outflow of sin, just the course that sin takes, just the path that sin takes. If you step into it, it's not giving you life. It's not giving you joy. It's not giving you fullness. And that's the opposite of blessing, the opposite of shalom and peace and fullness. And so I would just hopefully encourage you with that God has more for you, and that choosing sin, and maybe you're asking this on behalf of a friend, so tell them this, you know, choosing a pattern of sin is going to take away the possibility for more joy in life for you, mm-hmm. More freedom, and the things that really, really give you what you were created for.
Hey, my name is Caroline, and I'm from Georgia, and I'm 16, and I still haven't had my, like, first kiss. So I was just going to ask, like, how do you not stay discouraged in high school about when all of your friends are dating or having boyfriends or girlfriends? How do you just not get discouraged by being single when all of your friends are in relationships? Like, how do you kind of stay true to keep walking with the Lord?
Caroline, amazing question. You sound so sweet and kind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Alyssa take this because she's got some expertise on this one. Well, no, I mean in the sense of like you were, you know, we talked about the
podcast.
You were crazy faithful in regards to being the only one making choices for obedience in high school and no one else did. And that's very difficult.
Right.
And that sounds like that's what she's doing. So talk about that.
Right. So I love your heart. I love that you love Jesus and are following him and not settling, because I think that could be an easy thing to do. Like just like, well, I want to date like so-and-so, so I'm just going to, whatever, pursue this loser. So way to stand above. And I think it's really hard. My first boyfriend was Jeff when I was 22, and I'd never kissed anyone or held anyone's hand. But not so much because I chose that. It's just there's no void choosing me. So it was just kind of one of those things. So I think continue to seek the Lord and tell him your heart, and when it's really hard and when it sucks and when you're lonely, tell him all those things. And then also pray for your future husband. And I think that's a really active way to wait on the Lord, because your prayers do matter and they do change things, and God does listen to them. And you know, he can totally be working in your husband's life and doing crazy cool things through your prayers. And I think it gives you hope for the future too. I guess I get it. It's so hard when all your friends are dating and you so desperately want that too, but continue to just really, pour out your heart to the Lord and have him comfort you. And then also like do, you know, don't just like sit in your PJs waiting, but go do fun things that you want to do, you know, like go travel during summer or go on a missions trip or whatever, join the basketball team, whatever it is, that things that you want to do, like live fully in those and enjoy the life that's God is giving you right now.
Yeah. Real quick, I'll just add to that, Caroline. Walk the tension of it's totally okay to have the desire to want to be married if that's in you. It's not something that every person has to have. Have that desire. You don't have to stuff it. You don't have to hide it. We were created for intimacy. If you have it, talk about it, want it. That's okay. But at the end of the day, also walk the tension of like a husband isn't the finish line. And we've mentioned that before, but the husband is not the finish line. You getting closer with Jesus is the finish line. Mm-hmm. And when you make that shift, I think it can also protect you from a lot of disillusionment, disenchantment, and kind of discontentment, because if you think the husband's the finish line, then you're going to start getting bitter and angry at God if it takes longer and longer and longer. And that's a really not fun place
or
you want to get to.
Once you are married, you've arrived or you're fulfilled.
You have everything you already need right now for what God has for you right now. And I think that's something awesome to remember.
Yeah. Our show is produced by Matt Carter, edited and sound designed by Melanie Steadley. Special thanks to executive producer Craig Gross and StrongerMarriages.com. And if you guys want to send in more voicemails, just give us a call at 253-234-4222. I feel like I'm on a Jared Jewelers I-545 south of Boulderwood Mall. If you're from Washington, there's a shout out to you. Our show is supported by 31 Creative Ways. We wrote this book for him and her. Each day covers a topic or theme that is crucial to a healthy relationship and includes a challenge to put that theme into action, as well as providing a section at the end of each day to record your thoughts, memories, and fun details. So you guys can do it together, you can do it in a month, or you could do it throughout the whole year. To find out more, visit 31creativeways.com.
Next week on Love That Lasts, we'll be exploring the ways that our differences can actually cause conflict within our marriage in our mini-series, Anatomy of Marriage, with Seth and Melanie Studley. All right, you guys, that's it. Have a great week.
Love you guys.